This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The path to an NFL championship starts in 32 unique locker rooms across the country.
I ain't blinking, don't you blink.
You blink, I'll cut your eyelids off.
But only one can achieve football immortality.
Fires into the end zone.
Which one of these Saturday Supermen will carry their programs all the way to the championship game?
Low jump, looks long, throws, end zone, touchdown. Alabama, the champion of college football.
Football's journey is documented here.
Leave no doubt.
Every weekend with your host, D.A. It's Sunday Morning Football on CBS Sports Radio.
Touchdown!
And happy Sunday morning to you. We come to you live for the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Coming up this hour here on the show, we'll look at today's lines with our Vegas virtuoso, Nick Costos from CBS Sports HQ. And also delve into the chaos surrounding college football's middle class, if you will. But our next guest is a five-time Pro Bowler for the Jacksonville Jaguars, a member of their Ring of Honor, the Jaguars Pride. He's a guy that was part of the building of that expansion franchise back in the mid to late 90s that went to multiple AFC championship games. Now he's watching maybe the best team in the AFC after they just punked the Patriots last week. Wide receiver for the Jacksonville Jaguars for a number of years, Jimmy Smith, joining us this morning on the show. Jimmy, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on this morning.
My pleasure, my man. Thanks so much for joining us. And I want to start with one of the current Jaguars wide receivers, and that would be a catch by Keelan Cole last week. One of the catches of the year, maybe the catch of the year, sticking his paw up with one hand and ripping it down on the sideline. I know you weighed in on this on Twitter. How amazing was that catch from a guy that played that position?
I think it was even more difficult than the Odell Beckham catch. You know, the way he had to go up and palm that ball with his back to the ball. If you can analyze, you know, Odell was facing the ball. Well, Keelan Cole had his back to the ball. And for him to go up and make the catch with his back to the ball and maneuver his body where he can come down and survive the ground, I think that was remarkable.
Just a remarkable, ridiculous catch. And it's interesting because the Jaguars lost Allen Hurns, Allen Robinson. They had injuries in the preseason. People said they don't have enough at the wide receiver or tight end positions. But this is a scrappy group. What do you think about the Jaguars wide receivers right now?
Well, I think they're a close-knit group. You know, their main attribute is having a coach like Keenan McCardell, who's been there before, who's done it. You know, before Keenan got there, before Tom Coughlin got there, you know, these guys, they stayed hurt and they didn't realize the importance of being on that football field and playing every down. Now these guys, and I know it's hard to, you know, with injuries, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to stay on the field, but, you know, these guys have come together. They realize that every play counts. And if you watch that New England game, you know, these guys, they rarely dropped anything. And all three receivers, even Dante Moncrief, you know, got in the end zone.
Jimmy Smith joins us this morning on the show. He teamed up with Keenan McCardell and so many talented Jaguars back in the 90s when they built this franchise. And you mentioned Tom Coughlin, and now that he's back as the overseer, when you were playing for Tom Coughlin, a lot of people, you know, always talk about how hard he is on the players, but what was your relationship with Tom like as you were picked by the expansion Jaguars, and he kind of gave you a shot to be one of the wide receivers for that team?
You know, I would play for Tom Coughlin now if I could. You know, he was instrumental in springboarding my career, helping me realize the importance of playing in the NFL. It's a privilege to play in the NFL, and not everybody gets a chance to play in the NFL. And when you do, you better make the best of it. We were a very disciplined group, just a bunch of kind of hodgepodge guys that were put together through that expansion draft. And we came together, and within a couple of years, we were in the AFC Championship.
What did Coughlin bring to this franchise the last 2 years that has elevated this team from 5-11s, 4-12s, 3-13s to being in the playoffs and one of the best teams of the AFC?
Well, he brought that that attitude to the team. You know, that hard work. It takes a lot of hard work. It takes a lot of attention to details. And it takes belief. You got to believe that you can win in this league. And I don't think they had that prior to Coach Coughlin coming back.
Jimmy Smith joins us here on the show. 5-time Pro Bowler for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Last week, the Jaguars didn't only beat the Patriots, they beat them up. In your mind, was that the benchmark for the best team of the AFC? Do you feel like Jacksonville is the best team in that conference?
Well, definitely. If they beat the best team, then obviously they should be the best team. You know, there are a lot of good teams, at least in the AFC. I don't see anyone else beating them in the AFC. Maybe Kansas City may have a shot. You know, I know they're not on their schedule, but they may be in the playoffs at some point. But the only hot team in the AFC would be Kansas City. But, you know, with having a defense like the Jaguars have, and they've done, you know, Dave Caldwell's done an awesome job in drafting talent. You know, you got Pro Bowlers on all three levels of the defense. Calais Campbell on the defensive line. You got Tevin Smith in the linebacker. And possibly, and you got Jalen Ramsey in the secondary, and Andre Bouye, and possibly the best, you know, the best defense of in Jaguar history.
What do you think about people that call Blake Bortles a game manager? Do you find that disrespectful or underrating what he can bring to the table?
Well, I don't find it disrespectful because, you know, he hasn't done it yet. I would say it would be more underrating. He hasn't reached his potential. When he first got drafted, you know, he had the potential of being a Ben Roethlisberger. And he just needed to get with the right offensive coordinator, the right coaching staff that's going to be able to pull that greatness out of him. I think the greatness is already within him. We just got to find a way to pull it out of him. And right now, he's making headway. He was in the New England game. I guess you could say he was a game manager. You know, he did what he did to get the ball game won, and that was making completions when he had to make completions, making big plays when he had to make big plays, and getting the ball into the playmaker's hands.
Jimmy Smith, 5-time Pro Bowler, member of the Jaguars Ring of Honor, joining us this morning on the show. We have tons of Jaguars fans that listen to the show all across the northern coast of Florida, Jacksonville area, all across the state of Florida. And I'm sure they are all loving hearing you here on the airwaves. You have been through highs and lows, ups and downs, mm-hmm. and been open about that, and now really have come full circle helping young people and getting that message out. How are you? Where are you at? What's your life like right now?
Well, obviously, we in life, you know, you have ups and downs, and every day is not a great day. But, you know, I'm happy to have air in my lungs. I'm happy to, you know, still have my family. You know, I got all five of my boys are playing football. There's no complaints on this end.
That's fantastic. It's such a cool story. Jimmy Smith joining us here on the show. He was one of the best wide receivers in Jacksonville Jaguars history. And right now, this current Jaguars team trying to get to where that team was, the doorstep of the Super Bowl, and trying to break on through to the first Super Bowl in franchise history. Jimmy, it's so good to catch up with you, man. Thank you so much for joining us. You can follow Jimmy Smith on Twitter, @JimmySmithJags. That's @JimmySmithJags. Great stuff this morning, buddy. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Jimmy Smith joining us this morning on the show. For those that don't know, He was arrested for drug charges about a decade ago and then has been through rehab and was also sentenced for prison time. He's been able to get out, get his message out, turn his life around. As he said, five kids, five boys, all playing football as well. So it's really good to see him rebound and be a guy that now you can look at and say he got it turned around, right path, right time after such an amazing NFL career. You can always hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. For the Jaguars, yeah, I think they're the best team in the AFC. And look, you got to do it in January. But that was a big game last Sunday, even though it was only week number two. Because as we know, the New England Patriots play a different brand of football in January in Foxborough versus anywhere else. You get them on the road, you get them in your house, they're not nearly as intimidating. And look, the Jaguars nearly went into Foxborough and won last week. But think about the Patriots on the road. They don't do it often in the playoffs, but they've lost AFC title games in Indianapolis, multiple AFC title games in Denver. Get them away from home over the last decade, the rare times it's happened, and they're beatable. And so you get that tiebreaker. That's why that Jesse James play last year was so huge. That could have meant the Patriots going to Heinz Field. Now, granted, they've wanted Heinz Field, but the last time that happened, it was 14 years ago. So the last time they wanted Heinz Field in the playoffs. Again, doesn't happen often, but if you can get them on the road, get a much better shot, and that might end up being a tiebreaker-type game for the postseason. Jacksonville, that was only week two, but a huge win nonetheless. When we come back here on the show, our Vegas virtuoso, Nick Kostos, is going to join us to look at some of the lines in the NFL today, and we talk about the middle-class chaos of college football. DA, Sunday Morning Football, CBS Sports Radio.
Winners, whiners, and wise guys. It's Sunday Morning Football on CBS Sports Radio.
You win.
Each week, we catch a red eye to Vegas and see where the sharps are putting down their scratch.
Place your bets.
And welcome back to Sunday Morning Football, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. It's a wonderful Sunday to be an NFL fan and a college football fan. Chaos yesterday in college football. And today's NFL action coming your way in just a couple of hours. Joining us here on the show is our Vegas virtuoso. He hosts Fantasy Football Today right here on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up right after this show in about 40 minutes from now. And also Sportsline Edge at noon Eastern on CBS Sports HQ. It is our friend Nick Kostos. Nick, good morning.
DA, good morning. Great to be back with you on the mothership. A fantastic week three NFL Sunday awaits. Can't wait.
Really good to have you back on the show as well. And I want to start with the biggest line of the weekend, 17 points, maybe 16 and a half, depending on where you see it, when it comes to the Vikings as favorites at home over the Buffalo Bills. I know the Bills are bad, but should we lay more than two touchdowns for any team outside of the Patriots in this league?
No, I thoroughly recommend not doing that. And look, you hit the nail on the head there when you said, except for the Patriots, because aside from the Patriots over the last 15 years, we've seen favorites this big, 16 points or higher, go 4-10-1 against the number here. So the odds are not with the Minnesota Vikings in this spot. Now, I will say that as far as like my hard-earned money, I can't recommend putting that down at 16.5 because this Bills team has the chance to be one of the worst teams that we've seen in quite some time. But if that creeps up to 17 by kickoff or 17.5, I would definitely jump on Buffalo at that point here. Because I think what you'll see, and this is kind of the angle that I think a lot of people are missing handicapping this game, on Thursday of next week, the Vikings are playing the Rams, which is a major game. The Vikings have a couple of players injured. Dalvin Cook's not playing in this game. Everson Griffin, their top pass rusher, not playing in this game. So if Minnesota's cruising in that first half, they're not going to play all their guys in the second half. Like you could see Kirk Cousins potentially come out in this game. They're not going to risk it if they have a huge lead with the Rams coming up on a short week, a major game in the NFC. So it's either Buffalo or nothing for me. I will not lay it with Minnesota.
Great point. Really good angle looking at next week's game against the Rams. Sunday night football tonight, Patriots and Lions. Lions are a touchdown underdog at home. But this is Bill Belichick against one of his assistant coaches. And so do we expect a bloodbath tonight where the Patriots just run away from things and make Matt Patricia look like a bozo?
Well, I think Matt Patricia will probably do that on his own. I don't know if he's Bill Belichick to do that for him. You know, one of my favorite axioms when picking games, I like primetime home underdogs. So I actually looked at the Lions in this spot, but I just can't do it. I can't recommend a play on this game either way, because if I had to pick, I would take the points with Detroit. Get back against the wall spot, obviously, at 0-2, essentially an elimination game for their season. So I do think that the backdoor is going to be open in this game. The Patriots are going to win the game. But Matthew Stafford, one of the backdoor kings of the National Football League over the last decade. And Stafford should be able to light up this Patriots defense. I don't think there's any question about it. So what's going to happen for me is either I'm going to have a bad day on the games of the 1 and the 4s, and I'll take the over in this game, or it'll be a good day, and I'm just going to lay off this game entirely here. But I do think we'll get a lot of points. I lean towards the over, and if you made me pick, I would take the Lions, but I want no part of that game against the spread.
Nick Kostos joins us from CBS Sports HQ. Looking at the Lions, our Vegas virtuoso every week here on CBS Sports Radio. Eagles and Colts. Philadelphia gets Carson Wentz back, and the Eagles are a touchdown favorite at home against Indianapolis. Do you figure that the Philadelphia offense just kind of clicks right away with Carson Wentz today?
Well, I don't know if it'll click right away. And when I say right away, in the first 30 minutes, the angle that I'm looking at for this game, I think Wentz is going to come out a little slowly, right? And that Eagles running back group, all sorts of banged up. Corey Clement's not 100%, and he's supposed to be the workhorse this week with the Jai and Sproles out. It's going to take Wentz a little bit to get his sea legs underneath him. And I think that'll happen at some point in the second half. But this Colts defense is very underrated. A number of good young players. Marcus Hunt starting to break out. Darius Leonard, the rookie linebacker undrafted, has been fantastic. My angle in this game is the Colts in the first half, either +3.5 or +4. If you can get 4, that's fantastic. 3.5 is obviously great as well. I think this game will be close in the first half. I do kind of like Philly in the second half. I don't like the full game number, but my angle would be to take Indianapolis in the first half, and I really do like that, and I do have some of my own money on that.
Chiefs and Niners today at Arrowhead Stadium. Kansas City is 2-0. They have not played at home yet, so you know that the home crowd is going to be rocking. Arrowhead, always one of the best venues and best home environments in all of the NFL. And yet, there's that bad defense the Chiefs bring to the table where you just don't know how many points they'll give up. This is a big number. The Chiefs are favored by 6.5 points. Do you think that that's too big a number concerning the Chiefs' defense, rather?
I do. And, you know, the look-ahead line was not this high. And obviously, the deal with Patrick Mahomes is everyone wants a piece of Patrick Mahomes now. He's been terrific thus far in his career, including Week 17 last year. And he has yet to start a home game. This is his first home start as the Chiefs quarterback. So a lot of high expectations here. This is generally what I like to do in a spot like this. And you're out there listening right now. Think about what all your buddies would say. Like, if you ask your buddies right now, 10 of your friends, who's going to win this game and by how many points? I guarantee people think the Chiefs are going to roll in this game because of what we've seen in Week 1 and Week 2. And then what I want you to do is visualize all those beautiful casinos and hotels in Las Vegas and remind yourself that they didn't appear and materialize out of thin air. I'm going to take the San Francisco 49ers and not think twice about it. Huge day for Jimmy Garoppolo. And I know the number, the total has come down a little bit to 55.5. I think this game goes way over the total, thinking like a 41-38 Kansas City Chiefs victory, but the Niners would cover.
Okay, so you think the Niners, though, can put a scare in Kansas City. You think they might be able to win this game then?
Oh, I mean, well, you said it. I mean, this Chiefs defense is absolutely horrendous. And if not in Week 1 for a couple drops by Chargers receivers, Phillip Rivers would have had 500 yards. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger threw for over 400 yards last week. It's just that the offense has been so good. And I think the offense will continue to be good, but San Francisco's offense pretty good too. And I think this is a big bounce-back spot for Jimmy Garoppolo, who has not played his best football in the first 2 weeks of the season. But again, this Chiefs defense could be the worst in the NFL. So I do think the Niners will put some points up.
Nick Kostos joins us, our Vegas virtuoso, looking at the lines every week here on Sunday Morning Football. Giants and Texans in Houston, a pair of 0-2 teams. Loser, their season is over. Texans are favored by 6 points. We just learned that the Giants are replacing right tackle Ereck Flowers with an undrafted second-year pro. That's how bad Flowers is. Does this spell doom for the Giants even at +6?
You know, I would rather have you or me playing right tackle for the Giants than Ereck Flowers at this point. So I think this is addition by subtraction. Get Ereck Flowers out of that lineup, and I grew up a Giants fan. Get him the heck out of that lineup, please. I don't know if this is me handicapping this game as a lifelong Giants fan, and I kind of think Eli Manning is washed up overall, and it pains me to say that he's my favorite athlete ever. But we have seen this, right, over the course of Eli's career. We saw it last year, Sunday Night Football against the Broncos. Backs against the wall, Eli generally comes out and plays pretty well. And Beckham really has yet to get going this season. I've got a feeling that the Giants are going to put some points up on the board. I lean the Giants against the spread here. I like the Giants getting the six. My favorite play, though, on this game, Giants team total over 17.5. I think Beckham's going to score twice by himself. Saquon should have a decent game since they give him the ball 50 times a game to justify taking him second overall. So I think the Giants will put some points up on the board. That's my favorite angle from this game. Giants team total over 17.5.
Nick Kostos joins us every Sunday here on Sunday Morning Football. You can hear him as host of Fantasy Football Today following us here on CBS Sports Radio, beginning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. So about a half hour from now, check it out. They'll get your fantasy lineup set. They're great. They are totally informed, and you are ready for that. You need that. And then coming up, Sportsline Edge as well at noon on CBS Sports HQ, getting ready for the NFL action as well. Nick, man, it's great to catch up with you again. Thanks so much for getting up with us this morning. We'll do it again next week.
Really appreciate it, DA. And, man, checks in the mail. That was a hell of a promo for the stuff coming up. I appreciate it, my friend.
I'm trying. I'm grinding for you here, Kostos.
Thank you, man. And hopefully we'll put some money in people's pockets today.
Nick Kostos joining us this morning here on the show. Good stuff. Now, yesterday in college football was defined by Old Dominion. They took on the number 13 Virginia Tech Hokies with a backup quarterback. I just want this as the precursor so that this sets the scene for you. Old Dominion had recently restarted their football program about 9 years ago or so. They are now finally in FBS, Division I, what we used to know as Division I versus 1AA. Now they're in Division I. Earlier in the season, they had gotten drilled by Liberty. They lost by 40 points to Liberty. That's Liberty's only win. And Old Dominion had a backup quarterback yesterday. And they had a number 13 team in Virginia Tech coming into Norfolk, Virginia. And not only did they win, they put up 49 points and put up more than 600 yards of offense. And my man Carter Blackburn on CBS Sports Network nearly had his head explode.
Fake it. LaRussa. What's the end zone? Fulgham. Touchdown! Old Dominion! Fulgham holds it in. And the Monarchs are a PAT away from tying it again. LaRussa hands off. Jeremy Cox. Big hole up the middle. Cox goes barreling into the end zone. And with less than 10 minutes to go in Norfolk, Virginia, winless Old Dominion has the lead. LaRussa to the goal line. LaRussa, it is caught! Touchdown! Two-hard, remarkable grab with a Hokie draped all over him. Has to snap it and hit a knee from here. LaRussa, they're going to hand off, but you just have to take a knee here. Cox goes rolling. He wants the end zone. Cox inside the 10. He stretches, and he adds in an exclamation point for Old Dominion. Why take a knee when you can celebrate in the end zone? Old Dominion stuns 13th-ranked Virginia Tech. Winless in 2018, no more. The biggest win in all Dominion Monarch football history.
I mean, I just love that Blackburn is taking the governor off of that voice. Just let it crack, let it roll. Boom. Old Dominion scored 4 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, 28 points. Let me give you ODU's season this year. Lost to Liberty, that monster, 52-10. They made Liberty look like Alabama. They then lost to FIU and Charlotte, and then just drilled Virginia Tech, which, by the way, you may remember, beat Florida State on opening night or Labor Day weekend, Monday night, and everybody's talking about how Bud Foster is the greatest defensive mind in college football. My God, can you believe Bud Foster? And then yesterday, Bud Foster's defense gave up 640 yards of offense to a backup quarterback for Old Dominion. Like I said, there might not be a more ridiculous outcome or game that we see all season long. When we come back here on the show, we've got your insiders. We'll hear from a former player on Vontae Davis walking away mid-game last week. We'll hear from the CEO of a brand new upstart spring football league and a Hall of Famer weighing in on the criticism surrounding Mike Tomlin. DA, CBS Sports Radio, and Sunday Morning Football.
CBS Television Sports presents the National Football League.
You're locked in to Sunday Morning Football on CBS Sports Radio with your host, DA. We ask those who are in the game for their thoughts on the game.
Congratulations, man. That's helpful.
It's time for The Insiders.
I'll knock you out.
Welcome back to Sunday Morning Football, everybody, here on CBS Sports Radio. Damon Amendolara, DA with you each and every Sunday, beginning at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 a.m. Pacific. It's time now for the Insiders. Let's start with Ross Tucker, who formerly played in the NFL. He joined me on the show, my show, on Monday morning following the announcement that Vontae Davis decided to retire midway through the game last week for the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I think it's pathetic. Honestly, DA, it makes me sick. You know, here's the thing. As a former player, I always side with players when it's something against management or the team. You know, whether that's holding out, whatever they can to try to maximize the money that they can get. I get it. Look, I understand. But when you quit on your team at halftime, it's not you against the team. It's you against the other guys. I mean, you know this, DA. There's only 46 guys that suit up for the game. So I'd have to look. I don't know if they had four corners suited up or five. But either way, you're going against Phillip Rivers. He's playing well. You quit. Then they only had three or four corners left. If you have an injury, the team runs out of corners. I mean, they had to play safeties in nickel packages yesterday. There's no such thing as retiring at halftime. That's quitting. You retire in the offseason. Heck, you can even retire during the week. But during an actual game, when you put on the helmet and shoulder pads and said you're playing, and by the way, this stuff about, you can step away when you want retiring. DA, he showered, put on street clothes, and left. I mean, that's one of the worst things I've ever heard a player do.
Strong words from Ross Tucker, who is now an analyst but formerly played in the NFL as an offensive lineman. And look, I think he put it pretty well there. There's no such thing as retiring midway through a game. That's quitting. And this is a violent sport, a collision-based sport, and I would never say or suggest that players should be out there if they feel like they're going to get injured. But at that point in time, I think you have to tell your coaches, guys, I don't have it. You don't want to put me out there. You got to let somebody else play, and then you stand on the sidelines or you answer questions after the game, being with your guys, and then decide to retire the next day, announce that retirement. But to shower middle of the game and get in your car, I mean, to me, it's just inexcusable, because I think in 2018, we encourage individuality, which is great. And we encourage people to follow their heart and follow their path, and that's great as well. And don't be hemmed in by the expectations of society, and I believe in all of that, except not at the risk of submarining other people that count on you. I mean, you do have a responsibility also to other people when you sign up for some things. Like, I can't just leave in the middle of this show and tell the guys I retire from Sunday Morning Football, find another host for the second hour. That's not how this works. You know, if there's something that's bugging me, irking me, and I can't do this anymore, I owe it to the guys that I work with to follow through with the given shift and then make that declaration afterwards. You can't just walk into your living room and tell your wife, honey, sorry, I'm going to Cabo for 2 weeks. You take care of the kids and I'm quitting my job. You have a responsibility to others when you sign pacts, whether they are emotional or just or they're legal. And for Vontae Davis, it's one thing to say, man, I don't have it, and, you know, eventually I'm going to retire. It's another thing in the middle of the game to shower and go home when the rest of the guys are going out into the field. See you guys. Have a good second half. I'm heading home. Anybody need anything?
I'm hitting up CVS on the way home. Anything? You guys are good?
The new CEO of the American Alliance of Football. This is interesting because this is the brand new spring league that's going to start up in February. Is Charlie Ebersol. You know that last name. That last name because his father, Dick Ebersol, is a longtime television executive. Charlie now has the reins of the brand new league, and there's a very interesting twist on how they are going to financially reward the players in this league.
We don't have owners. We're a single entity league. So all employees, all coaches, everybody report to the city, to the top company. Second of all, our players aren't making $50,000. They're a 3-year guaranteed contract, which is worth $250,000. $70,000 the first, $80,000 the second, $100,000 the third. Third of all, we have built a digital platform that is pretty much the most robust in professional sports, which allows players to be bonused off of fan interaction. So if a fan picks a player on a fantasy platform or in a bet, et cetera, and you'll be able to have in-game betting on our platform through our partnership with MGM, the players actually make money on top of their regular season salary, which is as high or just short of the NFL practice squad schedule salary. They'll be able to make money every time they get picked on a fantasy team, every time they get picked in a bet, every time a fan likes them on Facebook, et cetera. So we designed a system that we think is reflective of the modern era, where a player can literally make limitless amounts of money if they engage with our platform in the right way with their fans. One of the things that I think the mistake has been is that as professional sports have gotten bigger and bigger, the players have seen their salaries grow to a degree and then stagnate while the valuations of franchises have exploded. So what we look to do is create a dynamic system in which the player is rewarded. A player like Juju in Pittsburgh, who's built hundreds of thousands of followers on YouTube and built a real meaningful business, but isn't really benefiting from that directly. In our league, they'd make a lot of money in that situation.
It's pretty revolutionary, pretty fascinating, that your popularity on social media, if somebody bets on you, if somebody picks you for their fantasy team, means you get a financial bonus. What it does is it motivates the players to be salesmen for the league. It motivates the players to have an ownership stake in the popularity of themselves, but also in the league itself. And that's a pretty interesting way to go. I mean, I don't know how you figure out the algorithm for every time somebody likes something that you say on Facebook, you get a financial bonus. But I think it's pretty fascinating, and I think it's a pretty cool idea. And I've always felt like there is space in the sports calendar for the popularity of a football spring league. You can't go against the NFL and college football. When the USFL tried to do that ridiculously, of course, they lost and they went bankrupt and they went under. But they were doing okay in the spring for 3 years. And I've always felt like there is space in the American sports psyche for spring football. It just can't be at a monster level. It has to be at a, you know, a lesser level, but a slow growth. And having the conversation with Charlie Ebersol this week on my show was really enlightening. And finally, I had Tony Dungy join me this week on the DA show as well here on CBS Sports Radio. And he's a former Steeler. People think of him as a Colt head coach, as a Buccaneers head coach, as a Hall of Famer, but he played for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I asked him, what does he think about Terry Bradshaw's never-ending, incessant criticism of Mike Tomlin as head coach?
I really don't understand it. We all are proud Steelers. We want the Steelers to do well. We want the Steelers to win every game. But to me, you know, saying that Mike Tomlin is not a good coach and he hasn't been effective when you're winning all these games and going to Super Bowls and you have a better record than Chuck Knoll or Bill Cowher or anybody who's been there, it's a little hard to believe when you just look at the facts.
Yeah, it really is. And it makes me wonder, you know, is there other former Steelers players that feel this way and he's just the one that's vocal about it, or is he kind of on an island from all of you guys that played within the organization?
No, I've talked to guys and they say the same thing. Oh, when we played, you know, you wouldn't have the guys on the cell phones, the social media and all of that. And they wouldn't have the guys celebrating the way they do. So, you know, I understand that. And it's a different what some of my teammates don't realize is it's a different world now, and these young guys are a little bit different, and keeping them roped in, but focused is sometimes you have to do it in a different way. But no, I haven't heard any of the just criticism that, hey, Mike Tomlin's not a good coach and he shouldn't be there. I've not heard that from anybody but Terry.
I find this, I think, revisionist history about Bill Cowher fascinating, because Bill Cowher had a career that suffered early but succeeded late. So our last memory of Bill Cowher is winning a Super Bowl. Meantime, before that, he was known as a big game choker. He lost 4 AFC championship games at home. He lost a Super Bowl. He kind of rode off into the sunset because they won a Super Bowl. Then he retired the year after that. And then he's on TV on Sundays. Bill Cowher was a really, really good head coach. But the difference is Mike Tomlin had his success early in winning a Super Bowl and going to another one, and then not late. And so it's been the opposite. Now he's a choker. Now he can't do it. When you look at it, Bill Cowher, 3 games over 500 in his playoff career, 12-9. 2 AFC championships, 1 Super Bowl. Mike Tomlin's 8-7, 1 game over 500 in his playoff career. Same thing, 1 Super Bowl, 2 AFC championship games. But it's just the narrative changes when you have success early and then falter versus falter early and then win late. Let's get to your football forecast.
CBS Weather Watch, our forecast with your personal touch. It's DA's football forecast.
And our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news, there's a quick way you could save money. Switching to Geico, go to geico.com. In 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. In Kansas City, beautiful skies. Sunny, going to be in the 70s. No rain in the forecast, not a cloud in the sky, but an 85% chance of the Chiefs defense getting smoked like brisket today. Jimmy Garoppolo goes into Arrowhead Stadium. And while Patrick Mahomes should have a nice day, you know the Chiefs defense is also going to get carved up by Jimmy Garoppolo. So watch this one. I think that's a big line for the Chiefs. I think they win, but Garoppolo and the Niners keep it close. In Jacksonville, skies are sunny, 80 degrees, and a 50% chance of the Jaguars looking ahead. They've got Blaine Gabbert to lick their chops with in an AFC South matchup against the Titans. Look, the Jaguars should win, but again, this is a 9-point spread. That's a big line for me. The Titans with Blaine Gabbert, that's bad. But the Jaguars, after beating up the Patriots last week, I wonder if there's a bit of a come down this week. Wouldn't surprise me. And in Detroit tonight, this should be fun. Indoors, of course. Weather conditions are stable, but with a 100% chance of Matt Patricia getting owned by Bill Belichick. This is pupil getting hammered by teacher tonight. I don't know if there's a spread large enough. I mean, Belichick knows every tendency of Matt Patricia. Patricia's already looked like a buffoon a couple of times this year. I think that Belichick's going to run circles around the lines. This one is going to be a stop the fight type game in Detroit later on tonight. That is your football forecast. Your early slate of games, Saints, Falcons, Niners, Chiefs, Raiders, Dolphins, Bills, Vikings, Colts, Eagles, Packers in Washington, Bengals and Panthers, Titans and Jaguars, Broncos and Ravens, Giants in Houston to take on the Texans. That's your early slate of game today here for the NFL's 1 o'clock Eastern kick. That will do it for us this morning here on the show. Thanks to Tom DiBenedetto, our executive producer of Sunday Morning Football. My man AP, Anthony Pierno, on the wheels of steel. We've got Chris Venezia and Sam Rubinoff at WatchDA.com with the simulcast. And then also Alex Perlman on your headlines. I'll see you tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Eastern time on my show here on CBS Sports Radio. Enjoy football, everybody.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.